listening to the Floodgates Podcast. My name is Joey Brake.
And I'm Kenton Brake.
And we are so excited for today's conversation. Today we're going to be diving into the lessons we've learned. And I'm really excited. We were talking just before the weekend last week, and we're like, just talking about the podcast and what we wanted to share. I remember you had that thought of like, what if we just kind of did a conversation, opened up a little bit about the lessons we've learned on our stories and in our journeys of following Jesus. And I was like so inspired by that, because I feel like a lot of times we focus on a specific theme or an area of the discussion, but especially you, I feel like I've learned so many lessons from just your story, and you've been able to just share so many insights and lessons you've learned with me. But I think it'll be really, really encouraging for other people to hear just the lessons you've learned with what, over 30 years of experience. And, you know, you're turning 55 this year. You have so many.
I
always tell people it's so funny, because I feel like you've done everything. You've worked in any area, in every area you can think of, you know, from business to corporate to real estate to even in ministry and in the church. You've done so many different positions, and it's really difficult to find people that are so diverse in their experience. But what I love about a little bit of your journey is you've experienced a lot. Yeah. You know, you've experienced so many different titles, different positions, different arenas. And so I'm really excited to kind of just dive in and share our story today.
Yeah, and I think where this came from, the thought was, someone was asking me, what are some life lessons that you wish you could have told yourself 10 years ago or 20 years ago? Or what are some things you wish you had known? Mm-hmm. And I think, as you said, you forgot my ice cream shop experience, my first job at 12, testing out the ice cream, setting it out, making sure it's ready for
all
the customers.
That
was an amazing job. I was in the cooler most of the time, so that's my favorite happy place. But no, the reality is, I think there's so many things that we think about that didn't work, or we focus on areas of pain or destruction or hardship, and we forget to celebrate the things we actually learn, the experiences that God blessed us with and gave us opportunity in. And so I think as we have this conversation, that we can just unpack certain areas of things that I had to learn the hard way, things I'm still learning, and things that we can learn together as a community.
I think that's really important to have that as like a key framework when it comes to life, is like, we're still learning.
Absolutely.
Like, you know, like, I'm 25, but I haven't arrived yet. You know, even at 55, you're saying like, I'm still learning. And I think that's a good, you know, framework to have in our life, because the minute we arrive, I feel like we put a ceiling to our capacity. And a life that has that ceiling is limited, and you won't really see what's more to come, what's more to discover, what more areas you can grow in. Mm-hmm. And I think, especially in this time, this culture, we get so focused on one thing or one area. If I could only just be good at my job, or only good as a husband, or only good in this and that and that. And we've become so like obsessed and focused on this one area that we lose sight of all the other areas that we have so much potential in. It's definitely really hard and challenging to juggle, I feel like, a lot of areas of our life. Sometimes it can be easy to feel stretched thin, because you know, I mean, even me, I'm very ambitious. I have so many goals, and man, I want to be the best at exercising. I want to be the best husband. I want to be the best creative. I want to be the best leader. I have all these different facets of my life that I want to grow in. And sometimes it's easy to be like, man, I'm not being good in this area, and it discourages from this area. And I feel like it's all connected. But something I've kind of grown is like, if I could just make a growth in one area of my life and focus on that, and then the next thing, unlock that next level in this area. And then that way I'm not like dealing with the disappointment, or maybe sometimes we're so obsessed with the results.
Right.
And when we don't see the results, we're like, what's the point? And we give up, and then we don't do anything. Mm-hmm. But it's like, what's one area I can focus? And that's like, we talk a lot about steps, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of times we say, you start with one step, and you take another step, and then another step, and another step. And each along the way, after a good amount of time, you can look back and be like, wow, I'm so much further from where I started. And that's something I've learned from you of learning the potential of what could be with just one step.
Yeah. And I think we have to change our mindset that we want to know 100% all at once. Mm-hmm. I know as I studied Muay Thai like 4 years ago, and now I'm venturing into jiu-jitsu at 54. I hate it in a sense because I have to, only way I can learn, I have to lose.
Wow.
And we have to have a mindset of 1% at a time. Like, just like you said, one step. Like, if I can just be 1% better at being a better husband, a better father, a better friend, in whatever exercise realm that you're venturing, weightlifting, instead of, I got to be 100% at this right now. Mm-hmm. And then I think that shifts your goals and your mindset because you know, like, okay, I'm 1% today, but tomorrow I'm 2%. And it just goes further and further. And the more you go, there's still ways you can learn and do things. One thing that I was always challenged was that we have to have this mindset of learning. Mm-hmm. And even when I moved to Florida in 04, when we were helping another church, there was this 85-year-old man on the front row taking notes. Like I would be speaking, preaching God's word, and he's just writing all these things. And it got my curiosity, and I would ask him, like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm learning. Mm. I'm like, you're 85. What possibly more could you learn? He said, there's so much truth from God's word I still haven't uncovered. There's so many things or even perspectives that I can learn from. And knowing that you've traveled in different places of the world, I can see a different viewpoint from what you're doing. So that just encouraged me that even at 85, it reminded me of Caleb in his 80s, he wanted to go get his mountain, that he knew that as he was in the promised land, there was a place for him to go and conquer. And so I think it's not an age thing. I think it's just a mindset can learn.
It's really good. We were actually in a writing session yesterday for Floodgates Worship, and we were kind of talking about like what God's been speaking to us lately, and it's kind of similar to what you're saying. We were talking about like we don't want to stop right here to like what we know about God or even like what God's done in our life. Like we want to believe that there's going to be more.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times, like when we pray for something and we get the answered prayer, we think like we've arrived and then we like kind of settle down and get comfortable and we stop believing for things. We even stop praying with that same persistence or that same desire and devotion. And we're like, what would it look like if we had the same level of faith in despair or in the seasons where we're waiting for an answer? And like actually had that same level of faith in the mountaintop moments.
Right.
Like what would life look like if we pursued God just as hard in the good times than we did in the bad times?
Yeah.
And I think that same desire goes back to that heart of learning of we're not going to settle here in this moment when God does the miracle or when God does what only he can do, but truly what else can we discover about him? And even one of my mentors, I love when I get with him because he always asks me the questions like, what are you learning about God and his character right now?
Wow.
And I remember in the season of like my engagement with Natasha, like when I was meeting with him consistently, he was like, what are you learning about God's character right now in this season? And like for me in that season, it was like the generosity of God. And I was like, I never experienced generosity in that way before. I learned this level of giving and trust and faith when it came to like money and stewarding well and all these. And so I feel like every season you can mark the moment of the character and the way that you saw God move the most.
Yeah.
Because there's different seasons that bring out a different quality or character of God that you could truly see. Oh, in this season, I discovered the faithfulness of God. In this season, I discovered the love of God, the grace of God. And one thing I've learned is be able to like actually perceive what's the character of God I'm learning in this season. Maybe it's joy, maybe it's patience, maybe it's kindness, maybe it is giving, whatever it may be. Try to define the season of this is the area God is stretching me and this is the area I'm learning about him.
That's so good. Yeah, and there's so many life lessons we learn. Sometimes it's important to learn the hard way
because
it sticks and you have to go through it at moments. But if you can avoid those moments and still learn and build your character. Yeah. That's what's insightful, to have these mentors in your life, the people that you're surrounding yourself with. And so one thing I've learned too, that we have to guard our inner circle, mm-hmm. the closest five people around us. We can have a lot of acquaintances. Okay. We can have a lot of friendships, but there's some people in your life, they're not meant to hold your heart. They're not meant to hold your concerns and cares and your battles. And we give access to this because we eat lunch with them at work or we meet them out somewhere in the public. And so I think if we can surround ourselves, I always heard that you're the average of the five people you hang out with. Yeah. And it's so true. Like if you're focused on health and spiritual things and godly community, then make that your priority, that community that's going to hold you accountable, mm-hmm. that's going to encourage you to keep learning and pushing you to your capacity and your potential. Yeah. And I think that's one area that we can definitely learn from and apply. Also, just God's word and the power of praying it out. I think it's so important. A lot of times in ministry especially, spiritual leaders, like, I wish my people would pray. I wish they would show up and serve. And they're only going to do it at the level of your leadership. Wow. You want people to pray more, then you pray. Mm. You want people to serve more, then you serve. You want people to honor, then let that be your words of vocabulary of honor. And wow. So that the level you worship, people around you are going to worship. So if you're just there kind of worshiping, or if you're all in, not concerned about who's around you because it's really not for them anyways, mm-hmm. it's for him, then they're going to just see that's a way of worship.
Yeah.
And so I think as a leader, I've learned that at the level I'm praying, reading my word, fasting, believing, trusting, is the same of those around me that will follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to put like some language behind it, it's like you've taught me, it's like leaders go first.
Yeah.
You know, we're the first ones in, the last to leave. And it's by the way we live that we actually truly set an example. Mm-hmm. And I think you really taught me that in a big way of like, if you want to see someone else do something, you go first.
Yeah.
You know, how are you living? How are you living it out? How are you doing that certain thing and setting example and bringing them on the journey to that? Going back to what you were saying about the circle, what is a way, like, what are maybe some credentials and when you're choosing your inner circle that you believe are like really vital to maybe evaluate people? Because a lot of times we let our relationships or closest friendships happen by accident.
Yeah.
But what's a way that we can intentionally almost choose, hey, by these characteristics, by these people, like, I know that this is someone worthy of trusting,
right.
allowing an openness and a vulnerability that maybe not everyone gets to see, because I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard it put like, a lot of times, like, trust is like an onion and there's different levels of trust, just because you don't want to be as vulnerable with someone in your inner core of the onion as like an outer layer, but it doesn't mean you can't be authentic.
Right.
But it just, there's certain things and levels of trust that you can share at the inner core that you probably wouldn't share with the outer layer.
Yeah.
And so maybe if we could like put some like language to that of like, what are some characteristics that we could truly define, things that to look out for, that these are like pivotal, like really important things in order to know, like, this is someone worth trusting.
Yeah. And I think it goes back to even like in relationships. I know like when you were dating to get married and you were looking at certain qualities that we even wrote down, been praying for years in regards to who you would marry. And I think it goes back to those same levels of friendship. Like, let's start with their character.
That's good.
Let's start with, are they pursuing God? Mm. Are they in love with God? Are they just casual showing up, or are they committed?
That's good.
I think there's little things that we can look at. Mm. And I'm not saying you can't still talk to them. You said, have that outer layer of friendship and be there. Because I have friends that don't even believe in God.
Yeah.
they're trying to convert me to other religions. And it's like, but I still love them. Mm-hmm. They say they love me.
Yeah.
So there's that relationship there. But at the same point, I'm not in so deep with them that they know every cry of my heart. Mm. And so we have to look at those things.
Like, yeah.
I don't want you to put yourself only around a certain amount of people or a group of people. I think you need to
be
light in the world,
yep.
but guarded.
Yep.
It's kind of like you go into a jewelry store.
Mm-hmm.
There's jewelry on display.
Yep.
And there's jewelry in the safe.
Mm.
You don't get access to the safe just by, I want to see what's in the safe. Most of the time, you don't even know what's in the safe unless you're looking for a certain thing and you're qualified to even look at it. Then they'll bring it out with gloves. Mm. They'll bring it out with security. I remember we went to Canada. We went into a Rolex store. I'm on a journey of learning the value of Rolexes. But like the guard wouldn't even let us in
because
there was too many people in there. Mm. So there was a process. And then when you went in, there was guards and there was people.
So good.
You couldn't just go pick up a watch if you wanted to. Mm. And so I think that's the same thing with our relationship. We're just like, here I am, open, touch me, feel me, hold me, break me.
Wow.
And then we give them too much access too soon. Same thing with dating. Like we talk about four seasons. Like get to know people. I mean, you can't fully know somebody in 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You know, it takes four seasons to see how they react to winter times and spring times and summer times and fall times.
Yeah.
And so you're going to see how they handle mm-hmm. temptation, how they're going to handle their anger, their character, how they treat their loved ones, their family, before we give them all of our heart, all access. You know, we think that because they're our friend, they get the VIP pass.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that you earn or you pay for.
That's really good. I think another thing is track record.
Yeah.
That like I've learned to not be oblivious to people's past, because a lot of times that's showing there are not that you have to live to your past and not that you can't change.
For sure.
But there's certain things that you can learn from someone's past of seeing their character in it,
mm-hmm.
and even like how they handle when they fail, you know, like maybe it's not even the thing that they messed up in, but it's like, how do they handle that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, then because you get to really know a person, because when it comes to a moment of conflict within your own relationship or friendship, you can see, oh, wait, this is kind of a pattern here.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that you have to judge them for their track record, but it's good to be aware.
Of course.
And have that knowledge of, wow, this makes sense. This is why they respond this way.
Right.
You know, when you know somebody, especially like in my relationship with my wife, I know because I know her and she shared with me and opened up her story and her upbringing and all of the things she's been through.
Mm-hmm.
I can know, oh, in this moment, this is how I need to approach this situation, because I know the story, I know the situation. And I think that's the same thing in friendships and relationships.
Sure.
A lot of times we don't know them well enough and how to handle certain things, or because we love that person so much, we dismiss it or we make excuses. Oh, that's just because that's just who they are.
Right.
But just because that's who they are doesn't mean that they can't change or they can't grow.
Right.
They can't evolve. And so that's something I've learned, especially the past year, of not to judge someone for their track record,
right.
but truly just to understand. So then that way we have a greater understanding of where they're coming from, who they are, and how much access do I really give them to my life.
Yeah, and like you said, when it comes to like, you have that friend that only comes to you when they need something or they want to complain about someone else. And so if they're doing that with you and you're their vent, imagine when you frustrate them, who are they venting to about you?
Wow.
And so I think, like you said, there's characteristics of character integrity, characteristics of just loving God first and putting God first and see how they respond to things, how they treat their parents, how they treat their other friends is a direct correlation of how they're going to treat you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can probably count on my hands like four or five people that I know at any moment, even if I haven't talked to them for years, they'll pick up right where we left off.
Mm-hmm.
And I can go to them with anything. I can go with the goods and the bads, the frustrations, the hurts, the pains, life in general, celebrations. and they're always there. Mm-hmm. They're there not because they're gonna get something. They're there to be someone I can lean on, and vice versa. It's not just only always me getting that benefit. Mm-hmm. They also have that in return.
That's good.
So I think we can learn to not only receive it, yeah, but also give it out.
That's good. It's really good. I think another lesson I've learned is you find what you are.
Yeah.
And even like being able to travel the past couple of years at the beginning of my marriage has been really cool to explore different cultures, different countries, cities. A lot of times it's funny because like I'll go visit somewhere and people have been there before. Mm-hmm. And like the first thing they say is like, people there are so rude.
Right.
Or they'll be like, oh, like I love the place, but I just don't like the culture, or I didn't feel safe. That's another huge one. It's like, and it's so weird because I'll be like coming back from the trip from that place and I'll be talking to Natasha and we're like just sharing about like our favorite moments and all these things. And we're like, we didn't experience anything of what these people were like telling us, you know, like we go to Paris and we didn't experience a single rude person and everyone's saying like French people are rude. It's I'm like, maybe it's just us.
Yeah.
And I think we came to that realization. It's like, you find what you are. Like when you're kind to people, when you're nice, when you're courteous, and you're even like, we don't speak French, but we're like, we learned a phrase. Je ne parle pas français. Like, I don't speak French.
Yeah.
And then like, do you speak English? You know? And they would just respond, yeah, and they would speak to us in English. But there was never like a moment where they were rude or, right, or mean. Or, and so I think it's like, because we're like, yeah, we know this is not our culture, this is not our language, but we're still gonna put in effort.
Right.
You know? And I think people can see that, yeah, in you. And so it's like, I've learned, it's like, no matter where I go, somehow I make a new friend.
Yeah.
This past weekend, I was in Miami and I ended up serving at a woman's event. My wife was attending and I took her, and then me and my friends, we just served. And I got to meet like some of the other people serving and got to talking with them. And it's like, I was talking to my neighbor today and we were talking about Miami. I was like, we met up with some of our friends and we made some new friends. And he goes, that sounds just like you guys. And I'm like, that like stuck out to me because it's like, that's just who I am. Right. You know, I think I learned that from you because you can go anywhere and everywhere and talk to somebody, even if it's not in the same language. You always make a friend in a mall, grocery store, gas station, you name it, wherever it is, people are just drawn to you like that. And I was going to call you actually. I forgot to, cause I got busy, but, it was really cool. Cause there was this one security guard at the event. And for some reason, this guy just kept on like coming to me, talking to me. And he was like, just blown away at like, it felt like he was blown away at my existence. Like he didn't believe I was real. Cause I was sharing like my story and he's like, your parents are still together. Like you work at a church, you've been married for 3 years and you're 25.
Right.
Your wife has all these qualities. And he's like, there's no girls like that in Miami. And like, we had this whole conversation and like, I was talking to my friends after, and we were talking about you and I was just like bragging on you and all this. And they're like, it's kind of like what you just did with that security guard.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't notice it until they said it.
Yeah.
But it's so true of like, I feel like you've really taught me that of like how to see people where they are and like how to catch when someone is like drawn to you of like to actually put in an effort to have a conversation with them. I ended up getting to like pray over him at the end of the night. And it was really cool and encourage him, invite him to Tampa. Hopefully he'll come to our church day. But I really learned that lesson, I think, from you too, is like how to see people where they are.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's not by coincidence that you keep on running into the same person, or when someone's like drawn to you, it's not like the universe. It's like maybe the Holy Spirit's trying to prompt something there. So it's like, how do you bridge that gap of trying to show up and be a light in their life in that moment?
For sure. Yeah, you go to the bank, you go anywhere. I was even went to a quick gym night last night and ran into an ex-barber and talking about jiu-jitsu. So you never know who you're going to run into. It seems like you know somebody somewhere.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, I think it's looking at people, not what you can get, but really what you can add value to. I would encourage you, like, if you're needing that for your life, are you adding value to other people first? Good. Like, give people value, give people encouragement, give people prayer, give people the hope that you're caring and sharing. I was listening to a message from David Wilkerson not just yesterday, and he was talking about the lack of Christianity who aren't experienced true anguish. Like, are you anguished over the condition of humanity?
Wow.
Like, why aren't we so broken that marriages aren't lasting? Why are we not so broken and anguished, like, over relationships or godly character or what's happening in our world? And, you know, he talked about Nehemiah. He just was at a point of anguish when he heard the condition of Jerusalem, that he wept and he fasted. And he was like, why? What can I do? And then God gave him favor, Nehemiah, to go and rebuild it. But I think it's that lack of anguish over someone's soul. And I think people are put in your life that you're like, wow, maybe you're the link to them to God.
Wow.
Maybe you're the link to them experience authentic love. Maybe you're the connection of heaven here on earth.
That's so good.
To impact their journey, to change their trajectory and their whole life story, where they can break that cycle of not being married longer than 3 years or 4 years or 7 years, whatever the case is. But I think it's very important to just really think about, like, what burdens your heart. Like, you know, when you're talking about God and his character, you know, what is God concerned about? Is God is not concerned about being so famous. He's concerned about people's souls and where they're going with eternity. And he's put us, the church, his people, here to be that hope and be that light. And I think so many times in our journey that we make it self-centered about us and what I can achieve and my goals and my accomplishments, that we forget about the people right next to us.
Wow.
Our neighbors. Do you know their names? Like, I know you know one of your neighbors, and you have breakfast with a couple of them. But just, you know, I know my neighbor across the street and know him by name. I can call. I have his number. If you need anything, let me know. I'm out of, I saw you're going to leave out of town. I'll watch your house for you. It's just those little connections that you really are more intimate with and more aware of your surroundings, that, yes, there's nothing wrong with getting a diploma and achievements. There's nothing wrong with being successful at work and even in exercise. But when that's all your focus is, that's where I think we lose our priorities and our purpose.
Yeah, I think the sweet spot is living a life that is focused on you and others at the same time.
Yeah.
And the hard part is, where we get it wrong is, we either fall too much to one side and we're too self-centered or too other-focused. And
we neglect ourselves.
We neglect ourselves to serve others, or we neglect others to serve ourselves. And the sweet spot is living in a place that can do both really well. And it's very hard to do, but I think it's a beautiful thing when church is all about you and all about others. When church is all about you and not about others, it's too selfish. And it never was meant to be that way. But when church is all about others and not you, then you're missing a component as well. But when it can be done well both ways, where you can be ministered to in the same way you can serve others, that's, like, the beauty of church done well. And it's really hard to do, honestly. But when you can discover that perfect rhythm of both, I feel like that's the optimal way of living a life of faith. And another lesson I've learned was how to, like, walk through open doors. And a lot of times I feel like we say no too quickly. And we're praying for God to do something, and we're like, God, would you give me this, or open this door, or a new job, or whatever it may be. And then we get an opportunity and we're like,
he does it, and you're like, let me pray about it.
You get an open door and you're like, immediately, no. And we're like, no, because this, that, boom, boom. And we start to, like, we have already more reasons of why no than why yes before we even, like, entertain the idea or the thought or try even take a step in that direction. And I think it's possible to take a step in a direction of an open door to see it through without fully committed to actually doing it.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we think that when we start to step through an open door, that that's our full commitment. And so we shy away and we make that our only option, that we have to do it this way. And once we go all in, all or nothing. But when it comes to open doors, I think we miss a lot of opportunities because we're not even willing to see the possibility of what God can do through that door.
Right.
And something I'm learning in this season right now is how to steward open doors well without immediately closing the door myself and actually trusting God for him to close a door and me being willing to walk through it and walk through the opportunity. And if it's not the door, my prayer is God would close it.
Yeah.
But at least I did my part to see it through. And that's something I'm learning right now of God. Yes, we're praying for certain things and I'm believing for certain things. And when the open doors like arrive, let me have a ready and willing spirit to run through the open door with favor. When whatever that may be, even if it's not what I look like, even if it's not what I prefer, even if it's not what I thought it would be like. And if it's not a door from you, God, close it. But at least I was ready to move. At least I was willing to obey. At least I had that ready and willing, available spirit to do what the opportunity presents itself. Maybe it's from God. Maybe it's from another person. But we'll never know until we take a step.
Yeah, and going back to like Nehemiah, he was anguished, crying, fasting, concerned about the condition. And then the opportunity arises, like, what's the problem? The king, he was right by the king that had all the power and authority. And he said, what was happening? He said, okay, go. It's like, so don't be surprised. Wow. You know, don't be
caught off guard
or even neglect or even have to ask or pray about it anymore. Just walk through the door, you know, even if you can run through it, push yourself to just open it and run through it and just see what God can do. And in his case, he had provision, he had security. He was able to go back and lead the people to rebuild all the walls in 50 days. It's impossible on their own strength, but with God's help, they were able to accomplish so much in such a short amount of time. And so think about those things that, like you said, you're praying for the right wife or the right girlfriend or the job. And then when it happens, I think most of us hesitate because there's a risk involved. That we're are we really willing to risk getting outside of our comfort?
Wow.
What we settled for. See, on the other side of what you settle for is so many opportunities. And it requires risk. You know, even loving people is risky. Because it comes with hurts and pains, but also it's if you didn't, maybe you miss out on those authentic friendships that that God's creating to be your inner circle. So yeah, I would just challenge you is just take the risk, take the step in faith. I mean, yeah, let's just not jump off a bridge blindly and say God save me, but let's take the steps of walking through an open door, knowing that if God didn't want you to go through it, he'd close it and no man could open it.
It's really good. I think another lesson I've learned is this phrase that really stuck with me the past few years is choose your hard. And I'll talk to people a lot and they'll say like, you know, life is hard or they'll ask me like what it's like to be married. I mean, I got married at 22, been married for 3 years now. And they always say like, I heard marriage is so hard, or they've seen maybe in their own families and maybe their parents are separated, or they have this picture of what marriage is. But I always love to be the different one. You know, I've always been different. My wife won most unique in school. And so
I won most talkative. Imagine that.
I think we were always different. We always stood out from the normal crowd. But I always like to have the different perspective that challenges the status quo or the narrative. And I was talking to someone the other day and they were asking about marriage and all this. And I was like, It's funny that the people that say marriage is hard, life is hard.
Mm.
Everything is hard. Waking up is hard. Mm. Eating is hard. Getting dressed is hard. You know, having friends is hard. Just living is
work
hard.
Is hard.
Yeah. Work, like, everything is hard. And because that's their framework, of course their marriage is going to be hard.
Mm.
Because everything is hard for them.
Mm.
And I said, like, it's really what you make of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, it is hard work, but it's not as hard as we think. It's just actually putting effort and hard work into it so you don't have to deal with the hard things of the work that you didn't put in. And so it really comes to being proactive, you know? Like, we prioritize date night. That's something that we don't sacrifice.
Yeah.
We make marriage fun. We celebrate constantly.
Mm-hmm.
That's something, even from when we were dating, we would celebrate once a month our 1 month anniversary. And it sounds so cheesy and dumb, but it's so fun, you know, like, 4 months, let's go eat sushi, you know, like, but like, it brings so much life and enjoyment. And a lot of times we get so caught up in working and all the things we have to do that we don't enjoy
the moment,
the moment, and enjoy life. And so it's like, truly, it's what you make of it. So you have to choose your heart.
Yeah.
Like, right now, I'm choosing the heart of working out consistently, like a lot. And I'm running and I'm working out and I'm weightlifting, I'm eating right. And like, it's hard.
Mm.
I don't want to do it a lot of times.
No.
But I'm doing it because I don't want to be 70 years old with all health issues and living off of medicine and going to doctor's appointments and that be my life. And when I'm 70, that's going to be hard.
Yeah.
So it's choose your heart. And that's a big lesson that I've learned of when it comes to ministry, when it comes to life, when it comes to faith, when it comes to marriage and relationships, whatever it may be, you have to choose your heart because it is going to be hard one way or the other. But, you know, put in the hard work now, or you're going to reap the fruit, really, of the lacked effort and work and live in the results of the hard that was missed.
For sure.
And I think that's a big thing. It's a big perspective shift, because if we use that lens of, man, this is hard. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to work out, but it's also hard to not be able to live after you're 60.
For sure.
And so it's hard to be good stewards with your finances, but it's also hard to not have enough money.
Yeah.
And so you have to choose your heart, which is the route you want to go. And do you want to put in some work and some effort and do the hard things now so you can have the delayed satisfaction of the hard work?
Mm-hmm.
Or just live in the hardship of not putting in the effort and the work.
Yeah, and just enjoy the season you're in. Learn to enjoy where you're at in this journey. Like, right now you're newlyweds and you're able to travel, you're doing things. Later, God's going to bless you with kids. That season will change. You have so many things. Then they'll grow up and have their own families. That season will change. And so as you go through seasons of life, I think we get so used to, like, okay, this worked for this year, but then the season changed. How do we adapt?
That's good.
How do we continue to enjoy the moments that we find ourselves in? So that, I would just encourage someone today who's listening that God has you right where you need to be, and just enjoy it. Enjoy the moment. Enjoy the season. Good. Enjoy enjoy even the hearts that you're investing in now, so for later, you'll be a harvest that you can pull from, like even in finances, that you invest now so that later, when you are 70, you have things to pull from when you're not able to work as hard as you were at 30 or 40.
Yeah.
And so those are just so many things we could talk about learning in life, but I would say the priority is just put God first in his kingdom, and then he'll meet every need you have.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can just pray more, read more of his word, and then just start applying these simple principles, like you said, protect who's in your inner circle, and choose your heart, and choose to enjoy the moments that you find yourself in, and God will lead you on a roller coaster of opportunities.
Yeah, for sure.
I think I look at at our live, and I was so blessed to grow up overseas and have so many different cultures involved in my life and being able to travel. But I think that was part of forming what he wanted to do today here in our Wesley Chapel area, but around the world too, that we would have an openness to all cultures and all nations.
That's really cool. Yeah. One thing is, I can remember every moment that I had to, like, choose the hard thing. And I can remember every moment that I didn't choose the hard thing. Mm-hmm. And so I think our life is a byproduct of our choices.
Yeah, for sure.
And a lot of times we don't notice the power behind a single choice. Mm-hmm. But it's funny, it takes a choice to change it too.
Yeah, for sure.
And choices have so much power, and they're really vital to our life. And someone was asking me the other day, they were like, what is it like to live your life? And I was just like, well, a lot of people can see my life now.
You can see the fruit of it, yeah.
And they see who I am and maybe what I get to do and all these things, but they would not want to walk the same journey to get to where I am.
For sure.
They can see where I am today, but they can't see all the moments that I had to choose the hard thing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times in life, we compare ourselves to where people are. And we want to be where they are, but we aren't willing to do the work they did to get there. So I want to encourage people today is, like, God has a purpose for your life specifically.
For sure.
And it really just starts with a choice.
Mm-hmm.
To surrender your life to him.
That's it.
And say, God, I give you my life, and wherever you want to lead me, I'll go. Whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'll be willing. I'll be available. But with that, it comes with a lot of hard choices of surrendering your will, your desires, your plans, what you think would be the best.
Daily desire.
Probably a lot of disappointment, a lot of heartbreak, a lot of moments where you might question, but also a lot of joy, a lot of answered prayers. And it's like you said, this amazing roller coaster of highs and lows. And but every season, every moment has a purpose.
Yeah.
And it really shapes who we are today.
That's for sure.
Who we are in the past shapes our present. Who we are in the present directs to our future. And I really believe that in this moment we have right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's take this moment to make the right choices, you know, to choose wisely and to really take the lessons we've learned apply them and see how we can change. And that's the point of this podcast, really, is it's a catalyst for change and community and conversation. And so that through it, hey, maybe you can learn a lesson from us so you don't have to go through the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe God is trying to speak to you right now. Look at your circle, you know, evaluate certain things so you don't have to go through the same pains, you know, or the same thing of look at how you're handling opportunities so you're not missing an opportunity and you get to actually trust God to maybe there is something on the horizon that you might miss. But hey, wake up, you know, like take this seriously and really be willing to walk through it. And so my prayer is that just through all the lessons we've learned, that people would be able to see God in their situations and be able to take the things that we've learned and truly apply it to their life so that they don't have to walk through the same thing and they can learn from doing things the right way, you know, they could actually apply the things to end up even go even further than we have.
Yeah, and so, I think that's the goal, even as a father, that you would want your children to not have to go through the pain that you went through and have a better opportunity, a platform to be successful. And I think that's the heart behind even God sending Jesus to us, is so that we wouldn't have to carry all this pain alone or the burdens, that he would carry it with us and for us. And I think it's just a journey. Enjoy the journey.
Yeah.
And look at it as an opportunity to be heaven here on earth.
It's good. Continue to live by faith, be known by love, and be a beacon of hope. We'll see you next time.